Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Samuel Adams Returns, those anti-federalists. Oh boy, did they ever get it predictably correct. And this is Tom Navolis, your host. So delighted to have you back with me again this week. It's just been a most interesting week, as we all know. And we saw what happened this past Tuesday. We knew that everything has become so politicized that you wonder what in the world is going on. Well, I'm going to help you with that. You see, it's been going on for well over 100 years. You just did not see it take effect in the manner that it did. But it happens to thousands and tens of thousands of people every year, if not more. And yes, it could very well happen to you or I. What happened to President Trump? Yes, he was indicted. And today's program, I'm talking about Sobolev and Kosak, who I've talked about many times in the past, and how using the law and indictment in the people's democracy. And we're going to talk about that whole people's democracy as we go through, because it's important to understand that what is most feared right now is the success of those that for over 100 years have been working to turn this nation into a constitutional parliamentary, yes, constitution parliamentary democracy. And they have succeeded. Now, we'll get to some of that parliamentary portion that is now trying to be recaptured by the Republican House of Representatives, and they have a difficult job ahead of them because we can see the evils of how even parliamentary procedure can take and turn liberty on its head. Because once it's controlled, many, many things can happen. So I wanted to take and really start out today as we look at how we're using law against the nation and the fact that it was predicted. It was predicted to take and use law to destroy the Constitution. I know so many people have gone, Tom, no, that just hasn't happened. No, no, no. Well, we're going to talk about not just law, both at the federal and state and local levels, but more so bureaucracy, the bureaucratic rule making machine that is there in place. And you can go to your notes at SamuelAdamsReturns.net and see a link to a little bit more on the history of the bureaucracy that has been instituted in these United States. Now, you remember that the Constitution did not allow for a lot of agencies. The Constitution was very limited on federal power because the expectation was all of the rest of the mechanisms of governing would be where? In the states, in a federated republic or a federation of republics. Every state is supposed to be its own republic. And the Constitution brings the states together under federalism. But we don't have that anymore. We really lost it with the 17th Amendment and through a number of court cases and in particular, the various bureaucracies. So before we get into more of Kozak and Sobolev, I want to take and read you this from Brutus. And let this sink in. I'm going to read it slow so it really sinks in and you understand now and going forward that we were warned. Brutus, essay number 5. And this is just an excerpt of it. To detail the particulars comprehended in the general terms, taxes, duties, imposts, and excise would require a volume instead of a single piece in a newspaper. You see, he was talking about that section of the Constitution where it allows Congress to do all that. Taxes, duties, imposts, excise. And in that, in setting up bureaucracies, which he didn't even really look at, except later in this paragraph, we're talking about bureaucracies, rulemaking, as well as what? The penalties by those bureaucracies that those rules take and will affect you. And we'll talk of a particular case in that a little bit later. And actually, it was a liberal that wrote the particular article that's there in your references. So it goes on. Indeed, instead of taking and being able to keep all of that information, all that taxes, all those legislations just on a single piece or in a piece of newspaper, it's going to take volumes. So go look at the U.S. Code now. Go look at all of the rules and bureaucratic penalties in every bureaucracy. That's at the federal level. And then go look at it at the state level. You are already and have been, for all of us that are alive right now, my dad's turning 95, and even him, have been living in tyranny for well over 100 years. As this continues, indeed, it would be a task far beyond my ability and to which no one can be competent unless possessed of a mind capable of comprehending every possible source of revenue, for they extend to every possible way of raising money, whether by direct or indirect taxation. I have to interrupt as we go. I'm sorry. But that's the IRS. You got all these mindless minds thinking of every possible way to source the revenue and all the bureaucrats thinking of every possible way to source the revenue. Well, Brutus continues in his writings, under this clause may be imposed a poll tax, a land tax, a tax on houses and buildings, on windows and fireplaces, on cattle, and all kinds of personal property. It extends to duties on all kinds of goods to any amount, to tonnage and poundage on vessels, to duties on written instruments, newspapers, almanacs, and books. It comprehends an excise on all kinds of liquors, spirits, wines, cider, beer, etc. How many times have I talked about that before? And indeed takes a duty or excise on every necessary or conveniency of life. Boy, was he being predictive? Whether of foreign or homegrown or manufactory. In short, we can have no conception of any way in which a government can raise money from the people, but what is included in one or another of three general terms. We may say then that this clause commits to the hands of the general legislature every conceivable source of revenue within the United States. Not only are these terms very comprehensive and extend to a vast number of objects, but the power to lay and collect has great latitude. It will lead to the passing of vast number of laws which may affect the personal rights of the citizens of the states, expose their property to fines and confiscation, and put their lives in jeopardy. It opens a door to the appointment of a swarm of revenue and excise officers to prey upon the honest and industrious part of the community, eat up their substance, and riot on the spoils of the country. Wow. Let's see. The Democrats passed a bill that allows for 87,000 additional IRS agents. So a swarm of revenue and excise officers, and that are government funded, be they federal or your state enforcement officers, especially on your liquor and different commodities that states put into regulation and rules, they have enforcement officers as well. We just went through a process, and the Ohio State Legislature just put in for the Ohio Agriculture Department, where, you know, because whatever reasons, for safety, is that they can now come and look at your farms in such a manner as to how you grow, especially lettuce, which we know is problematic, but most of that's the lettuce that comes from Mexico in the Southwest, and protect all the citizens against what? And have fines and levies and taxation that goes along with everything. Well, there's a little story that just real quick in these last couple of minutes that is appropriate to this in the very moment, if you will. It was interesting to me, and this is in the Yale Law Journal, and this is The Punishment Bureaucracy, How to Think About Criminal Justice Reform. Well, it's more than that. And this was written in volume 128 between 2018 and 2019. So here we have it, is that on January 26th of 2014, Charnell Mitchell, sitting on a couch with her one-year-old daughter on her lap and her four-year-old son to her side, armed government agents entered her home, put her in metal restraints, took her from her children, and brought her to a Montgomery City jail. And she was told at the jail that she owed the city of Montgomery for old traffic tickets. And what it turned out to is not just all these federal agents or city or town or county or state. It was the city took an outsource. It privatized the collection of her debt. It privatized it to a probation company. And they came in and got a warrant for her arrest and used a SWAT team to haul her off for tickets. Now, we're going to talk about that a little bit more when we come back into the second segment. Now, Sam Adams, he clearly knew that this was tyranny. We were seeing these types of activities during the founding era. The frustrating portion of it is that what we have now is worse, is three orders of magnitude worse than what it was during the founding era. And I'm going to express that to you when we start looking at all of these bureaucratic rules with penalties. Come on back. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back once again to the second segment of Samuel Adams Returns. And we're going to jump right into it here. Is that as we finished the last segment, we were talking about Sharnala Mitchell. And she was arrested by a SWAT team that came into her home. And because the city of Montgomery took and outsourced their collections of tickets, of debt, of whatever it is they want to collect on. And so they use a SWAT team. They got a court order for her arrest, a warrant, and they went in there and they, you know, took her away from her kids. I don't know, it doesn't talk about what happened to the children in this case. But when she went there, and this is what happens in this bureaucratic environment. So this was parking tickets, right? And what it turned out was this attorney that wrote this article in the Yale Law Journal, he's sitting there and he's in the courtroom and he's watching on this, and the judge demanded that Sharnala pay or stay in jail. If she could not pay, she would be kept in a cage until she sat out, that's in quotes, so that's probably what the judge said, sat out her debts at $50 per day, or at $75 per day if she agreed to clean the courthouse bathrooms and the feces, blood, and mucus from the jail walls. So an hour later, in a windowless cell, Charnel told me that a jail guard had given her a pencil and showed me the crumpled court document on the back of which she had calculated how many more weeks of forced labor separate her from her children. So that day, this particular attorney became a civil rights lawyer. Now, what's interesting in this article is that, you know, I totally get this because you see, it's stating here something that is the reverse of why de Tocqueville came to America. You see, Europe had their prisons full in the 1800s. America did not. America did not. You see, we operated at that point on constitutional principles and more on moral law that was reviewed through the minds of judges and officials that knew that God was in control. Maybe not all of them, but a good portion of them did. And therefore, they applied more biblical forms of justice and not incarceration. But today, or at the time of this article, back in, 2014, I think it was, 2.2 million humans were confined in prison cells in the United States. About 500,000 of them are presumably innocent and awaiting for trial. So it's not just the January 6 folks. They're the ones that are the focal point, and rightfully so. They have had their rights violated and have not had a speedy trial, nor have they been allowed out on bail. Their rights have been totally, totally violated. So what this author is saying is that there's about 500,000 people that are innocent or awaiting trial. The vast majority whom are confined by government solely because they cannot pay enough money to buy their release. And in so many different ways, that's what's going on with the J6ers, is that all of their properties, for a number of them, have been confiscated, taken away, and they have no means whatsoever. Or they had to sell everything off to get a real attorney instead of the court-appointed attorneys, which haven't been doing them anything very well. So, what do you do? I'm stymied that this is what has become of our nation just in law. Well, and I do mean well. This is what Sobolev and Kozak also wrote about, because they wrote about the undermining of the legal system in such a way that you use the law and the Constitution to destroy the Constitution, the law, and liberty. So this country, as this article continues, has 5% of the world population, but 25% of the world's prisoners. So when he goes through all of this, he just continues on that at least another 4.5 million people are under government control through probation and parole supervision. Between 80 to 90% of the people charged with crimes are so poor that they cannot afford a lawyer. We look at it and we say, well, you know, they're the ones that have been in these criminal situations and blah, 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 blah. Well, that's a whole bigger picture. That is a big picture. You can lay that baby right in the lap of the old President Clinton and what he did with Cloward Piven and the destruction of our and the reform, or I call it the destruction of our social system. That's a big feeder into these problems. But at the same time, a lot of what is going on here then becomes bureaucratic insanity. So let me take you to that just real quick. I'm going to take you to another article that is very, very interesting. And this one here is from out of CBN. That's the Christian Broadcasting Network. And this was back in 2022 when this article was written. Now, I have personally seen the rule, the bureaucratic overreach happen for over 40 years. And in the different areas that I've lived, both at the state and mostly, and especially at the federal level. I'm frustrated with all of this because the politicians say they're going to do bureaucratic reform and they never do. In fact, we're going to get to a GAO article where, once again, just as I brought to you a week or two ago, that Congress does nothing with these corporations, government corporations. They do nothing with these bureaucracies. We are seeing the oversight committees in the Republican House challenging now a number of the bureaucracies, but these bureaucracies have become living entities unto themselves that are empowered to a degree. That's why President Trump was indicted, because he was going after these bureaucracies and trying to pare them back, which is the absolute constitutional right of the president, because he is over the administration. Oh, the bureaucracies. Well, this article, 300,000 plus criminal regulations is enough already. Supreme Court puts brakes on bureaucratic overreach. Not enough. Not hardly. It's a joke. They don't listen. So this article was written after the Roe decision came out and what the court did with that. But more so, where a lot of people weren't paying attention, I did. And I think I even mentioned it to you, was the court overturning what? Its ruling with West Virginia versus the EPA, where the court went here and it really took and stopped and put a kibosh on some of the things that the EPA is doing. Now, you have to understand that the Clean Air Act was written in 1960s to reduce toxic emissions. So instead of taking, and this was during the Obama, the Obama administration, in 2014, he put executive action to work. So here he is, bureaucratic rule. And What he did was not address specifics. He went after the whole fossil fuel industry. That's what he did. That's what O'Biden did, and that's what the leftist Congress then codified in different ways with this Green New Deal nonsense. But then when you started looking at it, the Supreme Court called foul. They said you can't do that. Obama went after the entire industry in a way that would have transformed our power grid, and now we're seeing it being done under Obama, O'Biden. And what you can't, the Supreme Court decision there virtually doesn't mean anything because they were able to codify some of the insanity that now we have to deal with. But the point being is that the court was trying to put a damper on it. The court was saying, no, you get the Clean Air Act only says so much that you can do, and the EPA is taking it too far. You can't do that. Well, in this article, you can go read it for yourself, but the author here brings out very clearly that in all of the bureaucracies, and here, yeah, I have to read this for you. So I'm going to come back, and here's a paragraph that we'll start here, is that the EPA has come in and threatened to take everything we've ever known, Johnson said. And it wasn't just millions that were on the line, because there was a fine of like $20 million that the EPA was going after this Wyoming ranch, because he got approval from his local authority and the state to take and build a stock pond. I remember this one very clearly. He did to do a stock pond for his animals, but he didn't ask the EPA. So the EPA fines him $20 million. And he's saying EPA's come and threatened to take everything away. Everything. What did we just read in the opening from Brutus? What did we read? They will come and take your property. They will take your liberty. They will come and take everything away. And he goes on, almost every environmental statute includes criminal provisions. So you could go to jail and face criminal fines for things that most of us take for granted on our own property, like moving dirt from one place to another, Jonathan Wood with the Pacific Legal Foundation told CBN. In fact, there are so many government regulations concerning every aspect of American life that recent efforts to count them have failed. What did Brutus write? Brutus wrote, it would take volumes, volumes. I've seen the estimate of at least 300,000. It's probably more like 400,000 to 500,000 regulations that carry criminal penalties, said John Malcolm, vice president of the Institute for Constitutional Government and director of the Mises Center for Legal and Justice Studies at the Heritage Foundation. Back in 2010, I did a lot of research on this when I was taking and prefacing the audio version of Bastiat the Law. And in there, I noted very well that the laws and regulations with penalties are uncountable, uncountable, and that the Justice Department and all these entities only focus on those that they want to focus on so that they can keep their statistics up in certain areas, and then they ignore the rest. Wasn't it amazing then that the indictment for Donald Trump would be on tomfoolery? But pay attention. This is what is there. Bureaucratic rules and regulations with penalties, and then the laws on top of that, both local, state, and federal. Ladies and gentlemen, these are the types of things that Sam Adams and our founding fathers revolted against. But we're not smart enough as they were. So come on back for the third segment. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to this last segment of Samuel Adams Returns. Those anti-federalists, they absolutely got it right. At least Brutus did in the conversation that we're having today. The whole idea of bureaucratic regulations and penalties, I covered that quite extensively in the second segment. So those that are in the markets that only get the first and third segment, I highly suggest you go to SamuelAdamsReturns.net and listen to the podcast or watch it on either Rumble, Brighteon, and YouTube, if I remember to put it up there. And on any of those programs, please take and identify that you watched it, you know, give a thumbs up or a click or a Rumble or whatever it is that that particular distribution mechanism allows you to help. And then definitely follow the program, if you will. We're trying to load even more of our programs up on Brighteon and keep them going on Rumble. You know, this is program 395. So we've done plus that because we had to do some reruns. And as I rarely mention, if you do find this useful, we can always use a contribution. And if you'd go to SamuelAdamsReturns.net, please, hey, $5 always helps, you know, keep the lights on at least. Just to finish off, we did talk about that when it comes to all of these regulations concerning every aspect of American life, which is what Brutus talked about back in segment number one, every aspect of American life would be touched by Congress making laws and then this whole crowd of bureaucracies that have come about. And what we've seen in that conclusion was there's anywhere from 300,000 to 500,000 regulations that carry criminal penalties. So with that, you sit there and you wonder, what in the world are you talking about? Look, I'm not going to get into it here, but there's the GAO report and study on this is there at SamuelAdamsReturns.net. Please go look at that. And then there's also from the leftist of all people, Brookings Institute, tracking regulatory change in the Biden era. And this was done on March 3rd, 2023. So this is extremely recent. You could go look at that one. You know, I necessarily don't agree with anything there at Brookings because they are so leftist, but you can go see what they have and the different links that they've put in there on all the different regulations that have been happening and what's been changing in that regard. I do want to cover with you, though, what was going on with Sobolev and with Kozak. Now, you heard me talk about Kozak in many different programs and that his famous writing on Not a Shot Fired, where the country of Yugoslavia was taken over by what? The socialist communists through the parliament. And when people go, well, Tom, you know, the United States isn't a parliamentary system. No, it's not. But through the elections process, by virtue of law, and by what's been taught in the educational system, the common term, so different than what I opened the program with, I'm going to reiterate that for you right now. Our government is a constitutional republic that utilizes democratic method of voting, especially for the lower house. The Senate is perverted in that now you have a general election for the Senate as well. So we no longer have then a constitutional republic that functions within the context of federalism because the senators are no longer held accountable by state legislatures. They're owned by lobbyists, special interest, and personally, I think their own interest. Therefore, they are a perversion and have allowed the federalism to die. So what we have instead is a mighty weapon that none other than Sobolev was talking about. Sobolev, and I'm sorry, I'm going to start with Kozak instead. Kozak and what he was talking about, that mighty weapon being none other than democracy and the use of patriotism. So when we hear now in our present time that the left talks about patriotism, when you have Biden talking about patriotism, Pelosi talking about patriotism, when you hear all of the, every degenerate, anti-God, anti-constitution person talking about patriotism of our democracy, they all believe they're patriotic, and they are, to a democracy, not to the republic. So Kozak, I get the two mixed up sometimes, they're so close, but Kozak writes it this way. He goes, it is a great, one may say, exceptionally favorable circumstance for the socialist revolution in the present situation that patriotism, quote, one of the feelings most deeply rooted in the people, end quote, leans on the needs socialism in the struggle against imperialism for national interest. In this way, patriotism and democracy have become mighty weapons of the workers' class in the present time, and step by step, they bring masses of new allies to the worker class because they're patriotic. Patriotic. And this is in the article that's there at SamuelAdamsReturns.net on how Parliament can play a revolutionary part. And the parliament this time is what? Are those that have been elected that are socialist and communist and godless leftists that are in every level of government that always talk about democracy. And therefore, the way that they use our established form of government and parliamentary procedure, what they do is they do that to win decisive majorities by looking at what does a state legislature look like? What did the House of Representatives look like at the federal level until recently? What about the Senate? So all of that is in such a manner to win decisive majorities and to change it all, you know, from an organ of the bourgeoisie to an organ of power for the democracy of working people. And what do you see out there? And this is the revolution. This is the socialist revolution, as he talks about, Kozak does. And in that, what we're seeing is all of these perverse groups of people who are patriotic to their causes, patriotic to their socialism, patriotic to their Satanism, patriotic to their godless destruction of constitutional rule of law. Well, let's go to Sobolev, since I keep talking about him. And let's look at the people's democracy as a form of political organization of society. And this was from a lecture back in 1952 in Moscow Committee and the Moscow Providential Committee of the Communist Party of the Soviet Union in the Bolshevik. So we're talking about what was happening with Marxist-Leninism and what Marx and Lenin then brought forward during the revolutionary period. Talks about just that the Soviets are not the only type of revolutionary organizations. What? No, they're not. Think about what's happened in America. Think about all these other little power groups out there. Think about Black Lives Matter. Think about all the transgender stuff. Think about all these other leftist groups, all these ideas of safe spaces, all these ideas of just picking on everybody for those little niche things. Sobloff writes here, the regime of people's democracy is the new type of state organization of the people's power in the countries, and at this point he was saying of Central and Southeast Europe. But now it's spread across the whole world, especially into the United States. And he talks about the people's democracy confirms the correctness of the theoretical thesis of Lenin and Stalin concerning the international importance of the dictatorship of the proletariat. We can stay here, and we may end up finishing just in this. You see, this is the dictatorship of the proletariat. So you have all these little groups out there that call themselves a minority, but they are the majority by the voices that they have, and they are out there as what? They're the dictatorships of the proletariat. Dictatorship of the proletariat. As an essence of various political forms in the period of the transition from capitalism to socialism. Stalin teaches that the regime of the countries of people's democracy all over the world now, in the United States in particular, fulfills the functions of the dictatorship of the proletariat, and that the states of people's democracy are one of the forms of the dictatorship of the proletariat. That sounds like double talk, but it's not. Look at Portland, Oregon, Oregon itself, Washington State, New York State, all of these socialist states, Chicago, New York City. Oh, these are the people's democracies. And what do? They, in those little groups, use every mechanism of media, every mechanism that they have in their power to take and do what? Be the dictators at the state level, be the dictators at the city level, be the dictators in Congress at the federal level when they hold a majority. We see that now with the Senate versus the House of Representatives. We see that with the administration, with the bureaucracies. Think about it real clearly. Think about it very clearly in this last minute and a half. The bureaucracies are full of the what? Of the people's democracy. The democracy of the people. They're full of those thinkers. Why do you think you have all of these rules? Who's making them? So the people's democracy as a new form of political organization of society was able to appear and did appear in concrete historical conditions. Primary existence was in the Soviet Union, but the further sharpening of the general crisis of capitalism, and that's what's created right now in the banking system, is the strengthening of the national liberation struggle of the peoples of the colonial and dependent countries, radically changing everything based on the dictatorship of the proletariat. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a lot of work to do. It needs to be done at the local level. I highly suggest that you take and do become involved in one way or another. It's a must. At your school board, at your city council, at your county council, at any of the small boards that are there within the structure of your county. I did a program of that here in Ohio. There's a lot of them, and they're taxing authorities. They tax you. Sam Adams understood this, so did the anti-federalists. So come on back next week.